Good morning to everyone who's here online and those that are worshiping at our various sites. And hey, it's Valentine's Day. Did you know that? It's Valentine's Day. And I know it's an interesting holiday. It's not one, I mean, I get a little bit concerned about it sometimes because people are in different places of life and what that day means. It's not always a happy day for everyone. But I know this much, that the best Valentine you're ever going to get in your life is the Valentine that comes from God's love in Jesus Christ. That is for everyone, wherever you are, and it satisfies every need. And so we celebrate that love that comes from our Lord as we meet together. And I know that this series that we're involved with, Closer, is an opportunity. I'm really excited about this series called Closer because I think it's that opportunity to fall deeper in love with Christ and to know that he's present with us. So let's jump into it today. By the way, did you see the news that came out of Duluth, Minnesota this past week with the 30 people that were ice fishing and the sheet of ice broke from the shoreline? And the sheet of ice was, with heavy winds, brought out into Lake Superior. Now, you talk about a terrifying experience, though. Why do people ice fish on Lake Superior? I do not know these things. But you are grateful that they had cell phones. They were rescued. But also, you can be sure that there were a number of people on that sheet of ice who were praying humanity's most famous eight-word prayer. Oh God, oh God, oh God, help me. And you've prayed that prayer before. And today's message is on praying for breakthrough. It's the second in this message on what I think is going to be a terrific series called Closer. And I'm wrestling with this question: is there a way to live your life wherein God draws closer to you and you draw closer to God? And I believe it's a definitive yes. And we're anchoring in on these fundamentals over these 7 weeks today, as the prophet Azariah said to King Asa, "The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you." It's the very promise and desire of God for us to know that he is close, and we get to experience that closeness. So this series is looking at 7 different ways that we can seek after a God, attract God's supernatural presence in our lives. And I pray it will be really helpful and bring that outcome in your own journey. Last week was on the magnet of humility in terms of drawing God close. Today, I want to talk about how prayer draws God close. To be an everyday praying kind of people, that's what I pray for our church. When your needs are met and your needs are not met, when you're praying for those breakthrough moments, most of us have prayer times in our lives where we're praying for a breakthrough in some arena of our life and our journey, when we're crying out, God, are you listening? Will you hear me when I pray? And God does want to and does listen to us, but we want to know it. We want to experience it. So we're going to give our energy to that, because I think our want to is really high. I think we really want to pray in a way that brings the result where we experience God's closeness in our lives. Our issue is not lack of want. Our want is high. It's connecting our want to our will to, where it gets a little more challenging. We're going to step into that arena. And yet I know your want to is high. I know that just because of empirical research that we did some years ago. When we moved into our Chanhassen campus, we almost doubled in size overnight, and we were a bit overwhelmed. We go, who are these people? Where are they coming from? And they go, they're here. We get to be a new community together. And what are their needs? So we hired a consultant, and for several months, we did surveys and focus groups, and we learned a lot of things. Where we learned that 55% of our church family come out of a Catholic background. Blew me away. He had no idea to that. So I tell my famous Catholic friend, my dear friend, who's a priest. We're really close friends. So we're the second largest Catholic church in town. And I'm sure that always goes. And they have a lot of Protestants going there too, so it works both ways. But here we are in this reality. One of the things we learned, we'll get all these surveys. And to my delight, near the top of the list of what people wanted to learn and what they were looking for in the church is how to pray. That's pretty cool. Because you think about that, you go 2,000 years ago, and top of the top, in terms of a request that the first followers of Christ had for Christ, was teach us how to pray. So we're wanting the very same thing that they were wanting. They were blown away by Jesus' prayer life. In fact, they saw him pray with specific intervals. He prayed always in the morning and always at night in specific times in the course of the day. They saw him pray before and after spiritually intense encounters and events. They saw him pray privately and alone and publicly with others. They saw him pray when he was crazy busy and he had to step aside, and when he faced a great need, or when he was under duress and stress. So Jesus prayed and gave us an example of how to pray. And we find this incredible scene in the scripture. I'm so glad it's included in the Bible for us. And it's a scene where the disciples are watching Jesus pray. Have you ever felt like somebody's looking at you? You just have this feeling somebody's looking at you? Well, Jesus knew that they were observing. And they're taking in his distinct closeness to God. And they're in awe. They're just staring and paying attention to it. And you can almost get in their heads and hear them say, Jesus, when you pray, it's different. When we hear you pray, it's different. We want to pray like you. We want to experience what you're experiencing with your Father in heaven. And we find that scene in Luke's gospel, beginning at chapter 11 and verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, that is Jesus, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. This is a teaching message today, and I'm going to provide an opportunity to teach what the Lord taught the disciples then and give an opportunity for us to practice in some seconds privately together this encounter, because that's what Jesus does. He teaches and gives us opportunity to practice, and we're going to reinforce it. And what does Jesus teach us about prayer, the kind of praying that draws God close to us and us close to God? Well, first thing we see is that prayer is learned. The disciple says, Lord, teach us to pray. Isn't that interesting? When you think about all the things that they saw, they witnessed his mighty miracles, but they didn't say, teach us how to perform miracles. You'd think we'd be all drawn into that. They heard him give these powerful sermons and teaching opportunities, but they didn't say, teach us how to preach. No, they saw him pray and said, teach us how to pray. They saw a distinct closeness that called them to want to have that same experience in their own life. They felt something probably was missing. They compared their own prayer life to what they saw in Jesus and thought, you know, something's missing in mine. And I can't help but think when we had the consultant come and we did all these surveys with the church that the people who said, teach me how to pray, did so because they feel like something might be missing in our lives. It could be frequency, that you just have never found the rhythm of consistent intervals of your prayer life, or you find yourself in a place that you think, I don't pray enough. I know that I don't pray enough, but that discipline to re-enter and connect my want to and my will to has been hard to find. And for some, the thing that's missing is uncertainty. You just don't know what to say or how to say it. Or perhaps it's not just uncertainty, it's answers. You don't get answers to what you are praying about, not the way you expect it, and it might be even demotivating, so you stop praying along the way. Or perhaps it's focus, that you are just distracted, so it's hard to stay in prayer when you get to it. And, you know, if we could all have our own confessional around what it is that causes you to think something's missing in your prayer life, I'd be curious to what it is. For me, it's this one. I get distracted. Anybody else get distracted since I confessed it? One hand would really be helpful. Okay, good, more than one. I get the monkeys in my head start chirping. So many years ago, I knew I needed a change up, so I started to journal my prayers. And the journaling would put me in the place where I could stay in it longer, deeper. And that was a helpful practice for me, who's easily distracted. And there's reasons for why I'm distracted. My wife would tell you all of them, but that's just another sermon on another day. And then there's perhaps the reality of closeness. You just don't experience anything. There's not a sense of the Lord's presence or connection or an intimacy, and that's demotivating. I think it's interesting that before Jesus teaches the disciples how to pray, he teaches them a very important point in prayer, and that is prayer is learned. The disciple says, teach us to pray. It's learned. In other words, it's not automatic. It's not intuitive. It's not genetic either, by the way. It's taught, and it's learned, much like you would teach a child to speak or to walk or to ride a bike. Or any of you ever done Pilates? I mean, goodness. few of you, maybe. Maybe you avoid it. But my kids do Pilates, and I watch what they do and stretching. They do things to their body I don't think we were ever meant to do to our body. And I've given it a shot, and you just, let me tell you, you feel the stretch in it. But you keep doing it, and all of a sudden your body becomes limber, and you feel good and healthier, and everything starts to flow better. Prayer is this way. It's learned. We don't think of it that way. We let everything else be learned. We'll invest into other things. But Jesus says, no, learn from me. Practice this thing called prayer. So we're going to learn to pray by listening to Jesus and practicing it. And I want to encourage you to begin this practice of praying every day, in the morning and the evening, and other intervals as the Lord comes to mind for you. Pray in good times and bad times. To pray in private, quietly, and in public, out loud. No, to be in a place where you listen and practice. And I know, and I just land this right now, it's easy to get derailed in our prayer lives. It really is. But you know what happens is the discipline, when it gets lost, you go 3 days without praying, those 3 days can become 3 weeks. And those 3 weeks can become 3 months where you're just not in that rhythm at all. And you feel completely disconnected from the God who made you and wants to know you best and most. So prayer becomes the way that you draw God in. Come back. He welcomes us back every time we seek to enter into that place with him, because it's the longing of his heart that we would come here. Well, Jesus offered a pattern of prayer to help us get started. You know it. You learned it probably when you were a child. We call it the Lord's Prayer. But honestly, we should have a different name for it, because Jesus did not sin and did not need forgiveness. So you could call it the Disciples' Prayer. That's what it would be better labeled as, the disciples' prayer. What they needed to be taught, Jesus gave to them, and what a gift it is. It was not likely intended to be memorized the way we memorize it, or to be rote, that we recite it, and yet it's helpful. There's nothing wrong with that. These kinds of prayers give us some good focus, but sometimes it becomes so familiar, like the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer is so familiar to you. I'm praying that there's a fresh wind of understanding that comes to you as we open up what Jesus says about it, because he's interested in the pattern of praying, not necessarily just the specific content that you have to memorize and stay to, but the pattern that you can bring into your life. And there are 5 patterns that I'm encouraging you to learn and to practice. So I'm assuming it's so cold outside, at least if you're in Minnesota. If you're in Mexico or Florida right now or Arizona, God bless you. We're here. And it's cold. And I know you're ready to learn today, right? You ready to practice a little of this? We'll do it quietly, so there's not going to be any discomfort. But I want us to learn what Jesus taught the disciples then and us, with the hope that it will just awaken something and to say, I'm going to renew my prayer life again. I want to have those conversations with the Lord, because it's not difficult to learn. It's just learning it and then practicing it. And so let's take a look at these 5 patterns. The first one is to pray with reverence or with adoration. He teaches them, Father, hallowed be your name. So you can see that his start point in effective praying is the approach, that we approach the Lord with a reverence for his name. We adore him. That we pause and we don't start with us, we start with him. We bless his name. We praise him. We revere his name. That's what he calls us to do. It's not that your need isn't important, and you will have moments like when you're on a sheet of ice in the middle of Lake Superior that you're going to lead with your need. Oh, God, help me in this moment. But the general rhythm, the pattern that he wants for us, is to start with God and to stay with God, the Father. Be present with him. Don't go to your need too quickly. Be present with who he is. Be satisfied in his presence in your life as you bless him and revere his name. Teaching us, hallowed be your name. That recognize that his name is holy. It's so very sacred. So there is an awe that we get to be in the presence of the God who created this universe, and that we can step into that and actually have conversation with him. Oh, praise his holy name. What a gift it is. We don't lose sight of that. We revere his name. But then take notice of how Jesus addresses him. And he's teaching us to address the Father this way. There's no religion on the face of the earth would ever consider this kind of pattern of praying, and that is to pray to him, Father. And what a beautiful thing is. It's recognizing that his name is personal. It's very relational. That Jesus is speaking here in Aramaic. And the term in Aramaic is Abba. Abba, Father. Teach us this intimate way. We approach him expecting relationship. both out of the sacredness of his name and the accessibility, the personal nature of relationship that he intends for us, Abba. Some translate in colloquial English this Aramaic term Abba to mean daddy. And that really brings us into a child-father relationship. There's controversy as to whether that's an appropriate English translation, but I think the heart of it is spot on, right? I know as a father of my children who are now all older, but when they were younger, one of my favorite moments to this day is thinking of them when I come home from work and they'd run after me and say, Daddy, Daddy, and they would jump into my lap. Or when they just had a question and would come up and say, Daddy, and they would say that name, Daddy. You know, there's something about a five-year-old saying Daddy. Just their voice draws you in to say, oh yeah, let's be together. It's that kind of intimacy that Jesus says we get to have with the Father. Closeness is the heart of it. So let's listen and practice what Jesus teaches us about prayer here. I want to invite you, just whether you're at one of our sites, if you're online right here in the room, just quietly close your eyes. And we'll just take a few moments here and pray, Father, or you may say Daddy, I praise you for, you fill in the blank. What are the attributes of God that just make you want to honor him, revere him, bless him? Take a moment and adore our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for the instruction of your word that says, be still and know that I am God. Instruct our hearts and our minds with the reality of your holy presence, that we get to be in it and speak to you as Daddy, as our Father. Draw close, we ask. Let me go into the next pattern of prayer, which is to pray with expectation. We find in verse 2, it says, your kingdom come. Now this, in our language and our understanding of words and phrases, isn't a picture that makes a whole lot of sense, but it was very common in that time and place that kingdom simply means reign, that it carries both a future and a present prayer of expectation concerning the reign of God. And so the future reign expects the reality that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is going to come again. We call it the second coming of the Lord, when he will make all things new, where he will renew the world with his peace and his presence and his absolute power. And boy, we long for that. And many of you are ready for that to happen today. May it be so. Let your kingdom come in the fullness of Jesus when he comes again and restore this broken world that we live in. And that's very personal for us too. Paul says in Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus when he comes again. We're in this process of growing deeper in love with the Lord, a sense of closeness. He's drawing us. He intends us to keep falling in deeper love with him throughout our lifetime, that he began something in us when we put our faith in Christ. If you've done that, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit who now indwells in you and who very much mediates the person of Jesus so that his reign is for you inside, but also in that which is to come when he comes and makes everything complete. We just expect great things knowing that he's coming back again. And I experience closeness. And you will too when you have an expectation that he's coming again. If you were having dinner this evening with guests coming to your home, that means you probably would have gotten out of bed in the morning. You would have prepared your house, prepared your food. You would have worn certain clothes expecting your guests to come. You prepared yourself. You're ready for the guests to come. And when you live with an expectation that Christ is coming again, it changes how you ready yourself in the day. I was greeted this morning by somebody who said, Pastor Joel, I made my bed this morning. Like, okay, that was an interesting little factoid for me to know, but you face the day. I made the bed. I'm ready to move on beyond the bed that I just got done enjoying. I think it's interesting that the last words in the scriptures in Revelation are this very prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. The last words of the scripture are, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I had a New Testament professor. He was so hard and so good. But he began every class, I had several classes from him. He began every class with us singing a hymn. And he ended every class in prayer, and his last line of every prayer was, "Come, Lord Jesus." Now, you get that from a professor week in and week out, class in and class out. It starts to train your mind to anticipate and expect the future reign of our Lord when he comes to make all things new. But the present reign is also part of this definition. Your kingdom come is that he who believes that God began a good work in me through Christ Jesus is going to carry it on to completion, but it means that it's at work in me now. So do you believe that God is at work around you all the time? I believe that. I believe that he is. And do you believe that God has purposed you to be awakened to the reality of his work around you and your relationships and your circumstances, that he's actively at work around you all the time? And he calls us to engage in that presence of his reign that happens when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, he began his ministry, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The way of heaven was ushered into earth with Jesus Christ so that the way of heaven actually gets experienced and practiced by us, not in fullness and completion, that will be at a later day, but we get to practice that now. And how does it show up? Well, in several ways. It causes us to want to do good, to have good deeds that blesses the lives of others. It causes us to be awakened to the souls of people who may not know the love of the Lord, and we want them to know, so I'm willing to share that love. It awakens us to the reality of our own brokenness, and yet his presence and what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit that marks those who have come to faith. 9 fruit of the Spirit: love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-care. I mean, I can go on. You get the idea. These are really good things. Anybody want a little bit more love or a little bit more joy or a little bit more peace? Well, all that you need, you already have in you in Christ Jesus. It's not just something that we look forward to in the time to come. It's actualized right now. And I hope that if you've put your faith in Christ, it wasn't for the benefit of heaven in eternity after you leave this earth alone, that it's to be actualized now through the presence of Jesus Christ who is in you. And William Carey, the great missionary, said, "Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God." As a leader, I want to live my life that way. I want to expect great things from God. I want to attempt great things for God. When we cast the vision for here, near, far, and our 10-10-10 love strategy, it's bold because it comes with an expectation that God wants to make his name known to the families of the earth and to your own life in the here and the now. So we step into that, all by his power and all for his glory. So let's just listen to the words of Jesus and practice that with a spirit of expectation. Just invite you again at home and here just to close your eyes again quietly. Just attend to the presence of the Lord who we have just adored, blessed, and honored. And pray, "Father, your kingdom come. Fill me with holy expectation today." Oh, Lord, may we not live so casually that we forget the reality of your magnificent presence that creates a sense of expectation and anticipation of goodness that arrives in our lives. Even this day, open our eyes, awaken us, and may we engage and be available to your purposes in your reign in us even now. The third pattern is to pray with petition. We learn in verse 3, "Give us each day our daily bread." When we think of this, we might think about it being about food alone, but this is about your daily maintenance. It's about what you specifically need to get through the course of a day. And we all have different needs, and the Lord sees them, and he says, "Ask God for what you need today." Pretty simple instruction. So what do you need for today? It might be a need that you have in a relationship or a job issue that you might be dealing with, or perhaps it's something that's deeper for you in a crisis situation, a discernment that you need for the will of God, or maybe you just need a lift to your emotional well-being because after 10 days of being 20 below zero, we could use, at least for us here, a little bit of lift along the way. Oh God, give us a lift. It's a specific need because it affects our emotional well-being. And so we find in the scriptures that there's a lot of clarity around petition, both what Jesus gives, what the apostles give to us, and you find that the priority of our petitions when we ask is to be for others first and us last. Our natural inclination is put ourselves there first, and we're encouraged to do a prayer of thinking of the needs of others first. Start with others first, and then move to your own need. And in fact, it's helpful to be mindful of Philippians 2. It says, be humble, thinking of others more highly than yourself. It's just a strong exhortation for us because God is a there you are kind of God. You know, I talk about two kinds of people in the world. Here I am kind of people, there you are kind of people. And God is a there you are kind of God who takes notice of us and comes to us. And so we are to take notice of others and come to them. But then we can bring our own personal requests and be specific around them as well. Ask, as James says, he was exhorting the church, you have not because you ask not. Well, why don't we ask? Maybe because we assume, we presume, or perhaps we're starting to live with a spirit of entitlement. I put my faith in God, therefore God, I deserve to get such and such. But no, the Lord wants us to ask. It communicates an understanding that we know who He is in light of who we are, and He draws close when we're invited into that kind of conversation. He loves to meet our daily needs. So I want us to do this listening to the way of Jesus and the practice by having a moment to pray for an other-centered need and then one thing that you may have. But I'm going to choose at least one of the other-centered needs, if you don't mind. Can I invite us as a church family to be in prayer for Myanmar right now, the country of Myanmar? If you're paying any attention right now to what's happening in other places around the globe, Myanmar has been on the headlines since February 1st when there was a coup by the military over the democratic leadership that has been in rule for not that very long. We just got these pictures that came out from one of our servants on the ground. Myanmar is one of our priority countries, and right now there is a surge of protests that is taking place. They're on the brink of violence, and I fear religious persecution. That has been the history of Myanmar. They've had a dozen years of relative peace, although there's been a genocide against Muslims there for the past several years in a couple of the regions, and there's concern that it's about to break out again. So we're not able to have direct contact. We were able to get these photos through another source that brought us to us. You can see the crowds that are there. It's about to turn violent. Could we pray for Myanmar that there could be restored order? You might have seen that President Biden actually put sanctions against Myanmar, inviting other countries to do the same thing. But this is one of our primary zones, half a dozen countries in the world, and we are totally invested to see the love of Christ and churches get planted there. And we have missionaries, American and those from Myanmar that are on the ground there right now. They could really benefit from our prayers, and God delights when we pray for others. And then you may have a particular need in your own life. Maybe it's somebody else's life you want to bring, but just wherever you are, just quietly again, close your eyes and let's practice. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Take a moment, pray for peace in Myanmar first, and then one of your needs. And Lord, hear us as we pray. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be mindful that you're at work around the world and our own backyard, and that you invite us to ask, and we come boldly asking, petitioning on behalf of Myanmar for your presence and provision and our own personal needs. Be glorified. And then the fourth pattern of prayer that Jesus taught was prayer of confession. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Jesus says this is important. Confess your sins, receive his forgiveness, then live in your forgiveness. Such a critical, important expression of having an abundant life, a life of freedom. And it is this simple call to don't hide. The power of secret destroys. Come into the light. He loves it when we confess our sin. Confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He sets us free. So tell it like it is. He's got big shoulders. He can handle it. And he'll come and he'll meet you. But then there may be an engagement with others, and we need to speak to them as well. Here's the deal. Confess sin and forgiveness received opens up the communication lines so that we experience God drawing close to us, and we are motivated then to draw close to Him because He meets us with mercy. But when we don't confess our sins and we don't receive forgiveness, it creates clogs in the communication pipeline, and it limits our capacity to experience the fullness, the beauty, the intimacy of God who loves us. So we distance ourselves, we feel unworthy, eventually detaching completely and moving ourselves away. But here's the good news. He calls us to come back and come back again and again. Now, I just will say that one of the seven ways that we draw close to God and God draws close to us is this confession. So it's a dedicated message coming up in a couple weeks. So I'm going to unpack this in greater depth when we get to it. But I want to bring that invitation even for Ash Wednesday. We'll spend a little time on that as we experience that even this Wednesday. So I invite you to come back for that service. I'm going to move right into the next and the final place to listen and practice, and that is to pray with dependence on God to resist the temptations that come to us. He says, and lead us not into temptation. Depend on me so that you can have the strength you need to get through the temptations that will move you away from His voice. And this is a direct call and specific instruction for us. We had earlier this week, our interns, we have a cohort of new interns right now at Westwood. They met together for a 3-day retreat. I got to spend the first day with them. And I spent some time talking about their relationship with God as they envision their futures and serving the purposes of God in ministry and what it is that trips it up. And I shared with them one of the verses I've preached on several times. It's one of my favorite verses from Proverbs 4:23. That gives us this incredible, insightful reminder to guard your hearts with all diligence, for from it flows the wellspring of life. And we want the wellspring of life to flow from our heart. But this call is to guard your hearts. And that word guard is a military term. And in the Hebrew, it means put soldiers around your heart because you're going to need them. We all will need them, whether you're going into ministry vocationally or just living a life for the Lord and whatever He's called you to do, guard your heart with all diligence. Pay attention, for from it flows the wellspring of life. And I shared with them something that a mentor of mine shared with me in my early 20s that's been a helpful practice, and that is to identify your five most vulnerable arenas of temptation, your Achilles heel, what might take you out, because you know what they are, and they're different for everybody. So take the time, and it changes over the seasons of your life. What gets in the way of that flow of God coming close to you and you coming close to Him? And be able to articulate those five things and specify them. And because when you do, it's like looking in the mirror, and you know what you see and what's coming, and then you can better guard your heart and say, oh Lord, lead me not into temptation. And by the way, He promises to give release. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is uncommon to man. You're not going through anything that nobody else has gone through, by which God is faithful, He will provide a way of escape. But there's a test, there's a trust to be able to be with Him in that communication. So let's listen and practice what Jesus teaches here, because it's so good and so important. I invite you to close your eyes quietly, just pray with me as we wrap up this teaching message around the practice of praying. And pray, Father, I am tempted to fill in the blank. Name one of those or two of those arenas of temptation that are in your face right now. Just lay it before the Lord and say, Lord, help me to guard my heart to say no to this temptation. Heavenly Father, I can't help but wonder, what is it that you're experiencing, what you're hearing? And could this day just be such a sacred day that you prevent someone from yielding to a temptation that would cause them to distance themselves from you, destroy an important relationship, wreak havoc in life? I pray, Father, that you would intervene as a result of our coming and listening to our Lord Jesus, your Son, and practicing what He has for us. Amen. Well, we close the disciples' prayer what you have known as the Lord's Prayer with the words, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." But you don't find that in Luke's gospel, and you don't find that in Matthew's gospel, where we find the Lord's Prayer as well. But it was added in the second century. But I'm glad that it was added. It was like an exclamation point at the end of this pattern of praying related to adoring God. And we started with adoration. We end with adoration. What a gift it is. Well, I pray that you will learn some of these patterns. They don't have to be the specific words here stated, but take in these patterns and apply them in your own life. My mother gave me permission to share her own personal story, and I thanked her for that. But my mom's going through some heart ailment right now. She had a heart surgery last week. She has a couple more. Hopefully, we pray that she'll be able to go through those. And it's left her in a place where she feels really vulnerable. She is afraid sometimes. She's anxious often. And so part of the journey is to be around her as she's navigating this significant chapter of her life. And, you know, she has seven children. I've got it right now. I've been in the family a long time. She has seven children. I have five sisters and I have one brother. I'm calling it the J train because they're all J names. J, Joel, Giles, and Jody, Jill, JC, and Josh. And most of us are in Minneapolis. She's in Sioux Falls. So it's just a train going back and forth to be with her and to love on her. But we've all been able to spend some meaningful time with her. And she put her faith in Christ about a decade ago. And to see her faith come alive as she deals with some of these anxious realities is really fascinating. And part of that for her is a prayer. I don't even know where she got it. I haven't asked her that. But I've been with her, and she just blurts it out. When she's feeling anxious or fearful, whether she's sitting in her chair in the living room or if we're in the hospital and the nurse is working over her, I've heard this several times, or the doctor's in the room and she just feels anxious with what's getting said, she just blurts out the prayer. She doesn't care who's in the room. She just blurts it out. I just love her freedom in this. But when you're in her place, that's what's most important. That's what's settling. But I've been around it and I've heard it so much, I know it now. And it's really quite beautiful. And it follows the patterns of prayer, but with different words. This is how it goes. She prays, "The light of God surrounds me. The love of God enfolds me. The power of God protects me. The presence of God watches over me. Wherever I am, He is." Isn't that beautiful? It's a pattern of praying that God is close and we draw close to Him, knowing that He is drawing close to us. And so we want to help you in these seven-week series coming up to Easter. Our team has put a marvelous, very simple, but beautiful and meaningful prayer guide together for you, a prayer for every day. And we want to invite you to pick it up, start to find that frequent interval rhythm of praying, and see that as you pray, God indeed is closer than ever you would realize. So I've invited Val, who is our online pastor director, as well as the director of our communications, if she could just give you some insight to the prayer guide. And if you haven't picked it up, we're already hearing stories from people who have and are practicing. Terrific. But here's Val. Take it in for just a moment.
Hello, Westwood. My name is Val Schoniker, and I'm one of the directors here on staff. And I want to let you know that our team has prepared a simple daily prayer guide to help you receive the invitations God has given you. Within this prayer guide, you will find a daily verse, a daily prayer, and a daily reflection question to help you draw closer to God. Now, every Saturday, you'll notice in this guide, we are encouraging you to join us in praying for our Westwood families and Westwood ministries specifically. We hope you'll join us in that. And there are three ways for you to experience this guide. The first is if you are local to one of our physical campuses, come stop by the info spot and you can pick up a hand copy there. The second way is on our social media. We will be posting daily prompts of these prayers, and there you can engage with us, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram. And the third way for you to experience a prayer guide is by going to the homepage on our website. There's a downloadable PDF. You can just print it right at home, and there you'll have it. Now, we are so excited for you to experience God in so many different tangible ways throughout this series, and we look forward to hearing how God shows up for you in your life.
We really care that you would experience God's closeness and you would draw close to God. And boy, do we need this in our country, in our families right now. We need to recalibrate and recenter. So I'm going to put this up on the screen again, reminder of how you can pick up the prayer guide. Step into it and see how God will work and how he'll draw closer to you. Well, can we stand and also listen to the words of Jesus one more time, but join him in actually saying them together out loud? I'm going to invite Callie, our worship leader, to come and to join me on this. I'm going to restate the pattern of prayer that we've identified in the service, and she's going to invite you to join her and together recite the prayer that you have known for so long, and I pray there's fresh wind of understanding as we step into it. So, Lord, we pray in reverence.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Lord, we pray with expectation.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Lord, we pray with petition.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Lord, we pray our confession.
And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
Lord, we pray in a posture of dependence.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. What a gift that the Lord would teach us to pray this way. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you shalom, peace, a reminder that he is very close. As you go this day about your business and your coming and your going, would you expect God to be at work around you? And be available for the goodness and blessing that he has for you as you engage with the promise of his presence today and always. Peace to you. Thanks for joining us online at our sites here in the room. See you next week, everybody. Peace to you as you go.